Washington D.C.
So Rabosai, we got up to Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, and you may recall that we were touching on the sugya of hadlakos of mitzvah versus hadnochos of mitzvah. So let's find the place here on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Did everybody hear me? Chav Beis Amud Beis. Okay, Chav Beis Amud Beis. And we're up to Iboiluhu. So if you're on Chav Beis Amud Beis, you might want to count up from the bottom of the Amud. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines and one word. Okay, the first word of the line is Lahu. And the word before that is Iboiluhu. Okay. Hadlokos a mitzvah o hanochos a mitzvah. And the Gemara is now going to embark upon a whole series of brisos and try to prove one way or the other. But let's kind of focus on the question itself, meaning the suffix itself. One way of understanding the Erev Chanukah, which is very new to us and very foreign to us, is Hanocha. That the mitzvah is hanocha. The Gemara is about to tell us that if you maintain that the mitzvah is hanocha, the bracha will be asher kitshana mitzvot tzivanu lehaniach ner chanukah. And lacking hanocha, you would not fulfill the mitzvah of ner chanukah. Very strange. You know, we're used to the other opinion, and that is that hadlaka is a mitzvah. Now, the reason why hanocha might be significant, according to that Mandi Omar, is because over and over again we have sugyas about where exactly we have to put the Ner Chanukah. You know, you can't just light a Ner Chanukah wherever you want and say it's a Ner Chanukah. I mean, just to give a few examples, the Gemara says it's got to be mi Pesach Beso umi Bachutz. The Gemara says it's got to be below 20 Amos. The Gemara says it has to be within 10 Tfachim. The Gemara says it has to be on the left side with the mezuzah on the right side. And these are just some examples of what we call the makom hadlaka. Now, whenever you have a mitzvah that requires makom, there's always something called hanocha. For example, and here I'm relying heavily on Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi al Rambam, and Rabbeinu Chaim says the following, that in the mitzvah of the menorah, and the menorah again has to be located on the south side of the Heichal, says Reb Chaim, the mitzvah is not the lighting of the candles so much as the placing the candles on the menorah. So again, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah without the hadlaka, but ultimately, just the hadlaka, you know, somewhere or other, is not enough. It's got to be a hanocha. And Reb Chaim actually addresses the following scenario. What happened was they brought the menorah outside the Heichal. The Tzar, the nine Kohen, lit the menorah. The Kohen came along and brought the menorah inside the Heichal, and he placed it in his place. And Reb Chaim says that since there was a hadlok, I'll call upon him outside the Heichal, and now there was a hadnoch in which the menorah was placed in his place, that's enough for the mitzvah of Ner Chan. I'm sorry, for the mitzvah of Ner Shevimitah. So in any event, we could probably go through many, many different areas of halacha, and we will see that when the Torah requires a certain makom, then there are laws in structuring that makom, in placing everything in its proper place. And to the extent that Ner Chanukah, no less than many other mitzvahs, has an exact makom, a precise location that the halacha requires, is hanochos a mitzvah. Now let's go back to the other mandiyon, which we're much more familiar with, and that's called hadlaka osa mitzvah, which means that I don't care about a hanoch, I care about the hadlaka. So let's say, for example, we'll soon see, I don't want to jump the gun, if you had the Ner Chanukah from yesterday, you could use it tonight if you just do hadlaka on it. You don't have to pick it up and put it down again if you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah. Now Rashi has an amazing insight here, and you could blink and miss it because it's two words in Rashi, and these two words in Rashi revolutionized the whole sugya. And you'll look on the first of the wide lines on the bottom, which would be the equivalent of five lines up from the bottom, you know, because there are different gradations here. So I don't want to say it's a shorter line or a longer line because they're different. But if you look at the widest lines, which are on the bottom of the page, and you count up five lines, you'll see a Rashi that starts with the words "I hadlaka osa mitzvah," and Rashi goes on to say the following: "I hamitzvah shel Chanukah tluya b'hadlaka madlikin." And now Rashi takes a deep breath, and he asks himself the question: why? What is the basis, the underlying foundation for hadlaka osa mitzvah? And Rashi adds, Kida Ashkechan b'menorah. Now, what this means is, in the broader context of our sugya, as we discussed in the past, there's something called madlikim miner l'ner. And even though, at least some Amoraim, we'll talk about Rav, for example, are very inhibited about madlikim miner l'ner, that's called akluche mitzvah, but nevertheless, we're going to go back to our paradigm case of ner, which is going to be the ner Shebemigdash. And in the menorah and the Migdash, they actually lit miner l'ner. Rashi takes us now a step further, and he's saying that if our paradigm, our model for Adlokas Ner Chanukah is going to be Adloka in the Migdash, then we have a clear-cut answer to the question whether Hanochos a mitzvah or Adlokos a mitzvah. Now, again, Reb Chaim, if he were here, would have a major problem with this. But leaving out Reb Chaim, because Reb Chaim wants to say a chiddush in the Rambam, and the Raiva disagrees with the Rambam, if we assume, as Rashi assumes, that the mitzvah in the Migdash was hadlaka, and it would be absolutely necessary to do the hadlaka, and that would be the mitzvah, then insofar as we can equate Ner Chanukah with Ner Shebemigdash, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is likewise the hadlaka. Now, one of the things I'd like to touch on, I don't know if we can exhaust it today, is a question that's asked by the Taz. Now, in order to appreciate the Taz, let's open up the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Chanukah. Okay? And then we'll get to the Taz. The Taz actually is not in Hilchas Chanukah, but to understand where the Taz is coming from, we have to look into the Shulchan Aruch. So let me read it to you. I mean, you don't have it in front of you, but Tafresh Ayin Hei, okay? So in Tafresh Ayin Hei, the Mechaber writes the following: Hadlaka osa mitzvah velo hanocha. You have a ner Chanukah that's already, you have a ner, I should say, that's already been placed in the right location, punkt, exactly where your ner Chanukah should be. However, that ner was not lit for the purpose of ner Chanukah. So you're lacking the mitzvah of Adloka, says the Mechaber, and I think we saw it yesterday in the Rambam, that madlika sham v'eino tzarch la'asira u'lanicha l'shei mitzvah Chanukah. All you have to do is light, obviously you have to put out the candle if it's lit, but you light the candle and you don't have to remove the ner and place it down again, implying that if you would hold hanochos a mitzvah, you'd have to lift it up and place it down. L'ficha, therefore, says the Mechaber, a shoshis, which is a large bowl that contains a great volume of oil, shoshis dolekes kol hayom. So let's say you lit it yesterday of Chanukah, which means it's a mitzvah of ner Chanukah, but you have so much oil that's going to last more than 24 hours. Let's say, for example, it likom erev Shabbos lemitzvah Chanukah, lemotzoi Shabbos, mechaba umadlika l'shem mitzvah. All he has to do is put it out. He can't be yotze today's hadlaka with yesterday's hadlaka. Every day is mechayv a new hadlaka, but on the other hand, he doesn't have to do hanocha. And he's implying that if you would hold hanocha osa mitzvah, that in this case, it would not be enough just to put out the candle and rekindle it. You would have to actually lift it up and put it down, because the mitzvah is only achieved through hanocha. And you didn't do any hanocha unless you lifted it up and put it down. So we paskin, says the Mechaber, hadlaka osa mitzvah. And since we paskin hadlaka osa mitzvah, therefore he doesn't have to lift it up and place it down again. However, the Mechaber makes one strict qualification in the mitzvah of Nerachanik. You have to make sure that when you light the candle, it's already in its place. You didn't have to place it there. There's no actual requirement of a Maisa Hanocha, but you have to make sure that you're lighting it in its Makom Hanocha. So, for example, if we go back to the original paradigm of Nerachanik, where we lit outside, then it would not be enough to light it inside and then bring it outside, even though you did adlaka, because adlaka mibifnim is not adlaka, it doesn't qualify. This might be perfect if you hold hanocha osa mitzvah, even though the Gemara vacillates about that point.
But Mark, then, in a way, is saying that you need both, because it has to be in its place before you light.
But what is your active requirement?
Adlaka.
What do you actively have to do? If you hold hanocha osa mitzvah, it's not going to be enough that you do the hadlaka. You're going to have to also do hanocha. And if there's a ner dolk, you're going to have to lift it up and put it down again. If you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, there's no requirement of a maisa hanocha. You have to light it in its place, because if you're lit in a place where it's not royal hadlaka, then that's not hadlaka. You follow? But so the possibility of lighting inside and then bringing it out, so which might be very valid if you hold hadlaka osa mitzvah, is an impossibility in hadlaka osa mitzvah, because your hadlaka inside was not hadlaka. You don't have, if the hadlaka was done in its place, you don't have to have actively picked it up and put it down there. You know, if it fell from heaven into the right place, then that's fine. Just go ahead and be matlit. There's no requirement of a maisa hadlaka. Okay, now. If, here are the following premises, and then we'll draw the conclusion. If my premise is that hadlakos and mitzvah, in the case of Ner Chanukah, premise number two, based on Rashi as we saw, that hadlakos and mitzvah Ner Chanukah because kida ashkechan b'menorah, then we go on to premise number three, that since hadlakos a mitzvah, I would not have to lift up the candle that was lit for 24 hours plus and then put it down again. That I don't have to do. All I have to do is extinguish the candle and light the candle. Now we get to conclusion. And this is, I think, the conclusion of the Taz, which I want to point out. It's not the Taz here. The Taz says that if you combine all these possibilities together, then you would draw the following conclusion. If on Friday, he, or more likely she, lights a Ner Shabbos, you know what, let me give a different case. Let's say that the Ner was lit on Thursday, and it was a case of this, what is it called, the Ashashis. Now comes Friday night. What would you have to do on Friday night to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos?
Just make a bracha.
Just make a bracha. Well, let's think about it. Again, if hadlaka osa mitzvah means that what? That you don't have to lift it up and put it down again. All you have to do is hadlaka. Says the Taz, that's based, according to Rashi, on the equation to what? To the menorah. Then says the Taz, in the case of Ner Shabbos, we don't have this equation to the menorah, and therefore there should be no din of hanochos and mitzvah. I'm sorry, scratch that. There should be no din of hadlakos and mitzvah. Now, if you don't have hadlakos and mitzvah, you don't have the paradigm of what? Of Migdash. Then your other option is hanochos and mitzvah. So now, I'm just presenting the Taz. So sure. If you want to fight against the Taz, you can fight against the Taz. But trust me, I'm a nobody. I'm not a flea on the back of the elephant. But the Taz is one of the Gedolei Apostles. So the Taz says the following. In the case of Shabbos, it would not be enough to simply extinguish the candle and rekindle it. He would have to do a hanocha. And here's where the Taz makes his insight. Just give me a minute to present the Taz. And we're going to open up the Shulchan Aruch now to Hilchos Shabbos. Okay? And the laws of Hadlaka, we're going to see now in Siman Reish Samach Gimel. Let me see if I have it for you. Okay. Again, we just have to read one line in Reish Samach Gimel. What does it say in Siman Reish Samach Gimel? It says the following. He shouldn't be madlik the Ner Shabbos too early, because then he's not lighting it for the purpose of Kovod Shabbos. For gam lo ya'acher, he can't light it too late because then it's already Shabbos. In rotza lahadlik Ner b'odayom gadol ulekabel of Shabbos miyad rashon, and then he's going to qualify that it has to be after plagam mincha. Okay. Says the Rambam, "V'im hoya haner doluk mibaod yom gadol." So we're talking about a case. I said it was on a Thursday with an ashashis. Forget about that. Let's say he lit a candle midday on Friday. So the Mechaber already said that's before plagam mincha. It's too early to be mekabel Shabbos. He can't be yotze. So basically, he has a ner that's doluk. So what does he do? Says the Rambam, Yichabenu v'yachzor v'yadlikenu litzarch Shabbos. He puts it out and he rekindles it. That's exactly what we said about Hanukkah. Meaning, what is the Ramah cutting out over here? Hanocha. Says the Taz, I don't understand. In there, Hanukkah, all you have to do is put it out and rekindle it without Hanocha. Why? Because since Rashi says in the menorah and Mikdash, all you need was what? Hadlaka. So too in Chanukah, because the equation to Ner Shem Mikdash, all you need is Hadlaka. But in barring or in the absence of that equation to Ner Shem Mikdash, says the Taz, then Hanocha is a mitzvah. And yet Ramos says that in this case of Ner Dolik Mibodjom Gadol, all he has to do is Yichabena V'yachzor v'yadlikena, and that's all he has to do. Now, where is the source for this discussion? This is Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Hey. So let me see if I could find the original source here, since we are learning Masechta Shabbos, but not this part of Shabbos. So what happens on Chaf Hey Amid Beis? So the Gemara establishes on Daf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, this you'll see about seven lines down from the top, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. Okay, fine. So what's the nature of the Chova? Are we able to close the door? I just said it disturbs me. Thank you so much. He says the following. Tosfos Dibur HaMaskil Chova, about halfway down the Tosus, says, Im hoisa mudlekes viomedes, if he has a ner that was already lit, lo hoya tzarech lechaboso, he doesn't have to put it out, v'lachzor uladliko, he doesn't need another hadlok. This is Rabbeinu Tam. So in other words, Rabbeinu Tam says there is no mitzvah, even though the Gemara says that hadlokas mitzvah b'shabes chova, the Rabbeinu Tam says that's not so. Chova means not hadlaka, but you got to have light in the house. I don't care who put up the light or why there's light there. There's light. V'ein nira. And Tosus rejects Rabbeinu Tam. And Tosus then goes on to say, at the end of Tosus, that therefore im hoya ner mudlak v'omei tzarech lechabos ulahachzir v'lachzar uladlika. So in other words, Rabbeinu Tam had an original position, and again, there's a whole piece of Tosfos which we skipped about Kisi Adam, but they pressured Rabbeinu Tam to rescind his original position, and in the final presentation of Tosfos, it comes out that if the Ner is Omed Umudlok, then he, right? Omed Umudlok meaning that it's not a Ner of Shabbos, then he's got to put it out, and he has to rekindle it. Now, if you take that language of Tosfos and you go back to the Ramah, that's exactly what the Ramah says. Im hoya ner dolot bojom, yichabenu v'yachsuv yadlikenu. So the Taz, although he doesn't spell this all out, but he asks this question, what are we going to do with this halacha ner Shabbos? In other words, if, let me go over it one more time, in their Hanukkah, the halacha is halachos of it, so that's based on an equation to what? To Mikdash. Then in the case of their Shabbos, we don't have the equation to Mikdash, therefore, hanochos of mitzvah.
Where's the Taz located? It's not on the
Siman. Oh, so I have the Taz for you on a page. Don, do you remember where that page is?
The one I just did?
Yeah, the one that you photocopied. Do you have any other copies or just one copy?
No, I made a whole bunch.
Oh, great.
But this is the, I didn't know this was the Taz in here.
Yeah, this is going to be the Taz.
Yeah.
But you have to give out the copies because there are people who won't, they won't know where
it is.
The
Harikana? Yeah.
No, this is a sefer called Mishnas Yadlis.
Oh, it looked like the Harikana there, so this.
Okay.
Mishnas Yadlis, okay.
You don't need another?
Yeah? I think
so. Where is the Taz? It's in this first paragraph. And he says the following. Ein Taz, Sifkat Na'alif. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. You have it? In the first paragraph, it's the last, let's say, two lines in the paragraph. Two and a half lines, I guess you'd call it.
Last three words.
Okay, so this is the Taz in Siman Tofresh Ayat Aleph, which is the Siman that we read before, but I only have the Mishnah Berurah in front of me, I don't have the Taz. So he says, Hadlaka osa mitzvah, Pirish Rashi, Dumya de Menorah. Again, it doesn't say Dumya Menorah, it says Kedashkam Menorah. V'im Kain, Lo Shayach Kain B'ner Shel Shabbos. That's the Lashon of Taz. And then the Taz concludes by saying V'ayin Siman Reish Samach Gimel. So the Mishnas Yavit says that what does the Taz mean by saying Ayin Siman Reish Samach Gimel? He says the following, that again, I'm going to just try to highlight the main parts that I need for you. Towards the bottom of the paragraph, he says that Mashma Shab Mitzvah Ainat Akshi Yielo Ner Shabbos Dolo Ela Mitzvah Hu Had Loka Atzma. Tosus rejects the original formulation of Rabbeinu Tam that all you need is an Ner Dolo, and he requires Had Loka. Lefi zev muchach shegam b'ner shel Shabbos hadlocha osa mitzvah. Shari im hoya ner mudlak v'yomeid tzoch lechaboso v'latzar uladlik. So let me try to explain this Taz to the best of my ability. What's happening here is the following. If you hold hanocha osa mitzvah, then let's say you have a ner dolok. As long as that ner dolok is placed in the location, the specific location that's appropriate for ner Chanukah, you would be yotzi the mitzvah, because you don't need that luck. In fact, Tosfos says that even if that luck was done by a cheres shot of a katan, as long as you, the gadol, take the ner and you put it in its place, that should be enough.
Right.
So he says the following: if you cut out the hadlaka, then in the case of Shabbos, where Tosfos says that if there was a ner that was already dolok, then Tosfos vacillates, but in his final conclusion, and that's where the Ramah codifies this, he has to put out the ner and relight it. What does that sound like? Hadlaka osa mitzvah. So the Taz is perplexed. Why should Tosfos take the position of hadlaka osa mitzvah that we apply in Chanukah and apply it to Shabbos? Bishlam, in the case of Chanukah, we know that the Hadlaka is the mitzvah, and that's what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, Kedashkam in Mikdash, the menorah in the Mikdash. But in the case of Shabbos, we're not bound by that equation. The main purpose is to make sure that the house is lit. Why do you have to put it out in order to light it again? If you hold Hanukkah as a mitzvah in Chanukah, you don't have to put it out and light it again. You just have to guarantee that it's in its right place. And the parallel to that in Shabbos would be if you have a ner that was not a ner Shabbos, and now Shabbos comes along, make sure it's in the right place. But more than that, you don't have to do. Why does the halacha of hadlakos and mitzvah that we derive in Chanukah from Mikdash apply to Ner Shabbos? That's the Taz's question.
Yeah, because the purposes are different in the first place. In terms, I mean, the Shel Chanukah, ultimately the purpose is Pirsum Nisa. It's not the hadlaka itself, but on Shabbos. The ultimate goal is the orsh of the tzeleika.
So why does he have to put it out in light in the beginning?
He didn't do anything. He didn't do a maisa if he didn't put it out.
Right. So whatever maisa you need, if you say anochos of mitzvah, do a maisa. But why does he need adlok? That's what the Taz is bothering about.
Because then if he didn't do that, then it would be a birchas anen, and it wouldn't be a mitzvah.
Again, well, let's say the mitzvah is hanocha. Even in Erech Chanukah, there's one man who says the bracha is on the hanocha. So why not transpose that and apply it to their Shabbos? Why do you need adlok? That's this kash. Now, I didn't read the balance of this article. I'm giving you that for homework. Because I really want to get to the iyun, what's it called, the otzer ayunim. But I would want to throw out the following svar. The Gemara says something pelodic over here. The Gemara says that let's prove that hadlaka osa mitzvah. How does the Gemara want to prove that hadlaka osa mitzvah? Toshma. So you're counting up on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You see Toshma? Omar Rava, hidlika mi bifnim, votsia, lo osa. Clue. So he lit on the inside and he brought it outside, and he's not Yotze the mitzvah. Says the Gemara the following. I amrit bishlema hadlokos a mitzvah. I can understand this if you hold hadlokos a mitzvah. Why? Because his hadlokos was not in the mokom haroi, meaning he lit on the inside. Is hadlaka b'mkoma v'inan. So that hadlaka is not worth a dime.
Because mkoma was not inside, mkoma was outside.
Right.
This was before sakama.
Before sakama. U'mishem hachi lo asakum ela i'amen hanochos a mitzvah. And he lit it on the inside, albeit that lighting on the inside is not valid, but nevertheless, amai, who cares, lo asakum lo klum, let him just take it outside, which is exactly what he did, right. Place it in the right location, and he should be yotze. So if I would stop this sugya right now, I'm a very happy camper. Because this is exactly what we believe intuitively to be the difference between anochos and mitzvah and adlokos and mitzvah. Afkamina is going to be where he lit the Ner Chanukah in a place that's not appropriate, and then he left it, and then he placed it in a place that's appropriate. If you all had adlokos and mitzvah, since he lit it in a place where it cannot serve, then bringing it out is not going to help you. You can't resurrect the adlokos from the dead. But if on the other hand I say anochos of mitzvah, that's exactly what he did. He placed it in the right place. So I was very happy with this. Comes along the Gemara. Wait a second. Let's read the next line in the Gemara. And this is going to throw me for a loop. Hasam nami. Hasam nami means that even if I hold anochos of mitzvah,
you have to do hadlok.
He's not yotze in this case. Why? Because haroa hu omer litzarko hu diandika. I mean, it's a language of Shas that we're familiar with. It's like a repeating theme. You know, it's a, what do they call it in a poem? A refrain, you know, in a poem. You know, haroa omer. What is the roa thinking? So he lit it on the inside of his house, and the roa comes to the conclusion that he needs this nair to illuminate his house.
And why is he bringing it outside then?
He's bringing it outside for the sake of Ner Chanukah. So why isn't he yotze in the mitzvah? I don't get it. Tosis says, the bottom Tosis, that hidlika ner cheresot v'katan, and the gadol took it outside. He's yotze in the mitzvah if I hold anochos in the mitzvah. Why is his hadlaka inside, where the roa says litzarku of it? Again, that invalidates his hadlaka, but even the hadlaka of a cheresot v'katan is worthless. So my gara, why is it worse to light within the house than it is if the cheresh ot of a god lit? Meaning, if the mitzvah is in the hanocha, that's exactly what he did. Hanocha osa mitzvah. Now, I don't know, does he need a flag and he has a foghorn, he has to, you know, maybe, you know, send out a clear-cut message from Mosai, I'm placing this Ner Chanukah here for the sake of the mitzvah. I don't know. I mean, maybe we should say that every Anachos and mitzvah requires such a banner. I don't think so. But the answer is that he knows that why he's taking the Ner outside, and probably everyone else knows it too, because I don't know if he has to illuminate the outside of his house. Maybe he has a chutzpah. Well, I don't know.
Can we ask him even stronger? Let's assume that he had a candle in his house in the whole Anachos and mitzvah, and he lit it, lit Sarcha, Imamish lit it for his purpose, and then he brings it outside to make a bracha al Anachos. It should be also kosher. It doesn't matter if it's a Sarcha.
He's not Yotze. Why? Because the Hadlok is an invalid Hadlok. But we're holding now Anachos and mitzvah. So Rav Mosai, I don't have all the details worked out here, but I can tell you one thing mathematically. What this proves, and it's a pellet to me that there's no footnote here, that you need both. That even if you hold Hanochos and mitzvah, I need Hadlokah. And I feel in my bones, again, trust me, I haven't read what the man is going to say here, and I don't know, he probably goes off in a different vein, but I think that this is the answer to the Taz's problem. The Taz is worried, perplexed, why the Rabbo, which is basically word for word verbatim Tosfos, said in the Ner Shabbos case, it's not enough to put the Ner Shabbos down or have the Ner Shabbos there, whatever, but rather you have to blow out the candle and rekindle it. Vosefes, Hanochos and Mitzvah. Why? Because we don't have the equation to Ner Shabbos Mikdash. That's the Taz's question. But the answer is, even if I hold Hanochos and Mitzvah, Hanochos of Mitzvah doesn't disqualify, or shall I say, liquidate the significance of the Hadlaka. Even my old Hanochos of Mitzvah, I need the Hadlaka. But now we have to come to this is where I don't understand. So what are we saying now? That everybody agrees Hadlaka of Mitzvah. But one man never says it's not enough to have Hadlaka, I also need Hanochos. And that's a unique Hadlaka in Chanukah. We don't find any other case where we need a Hanukkah. Okay, so Shabbos, in Chanukah, there's a person, whatever you want to call it, Hanukkah submits. But everybody agrees that Hanukkah submits. If that be the case, what am I going to do with Cheresh Shota Bekata? Is everybody on board with this?
Right. Well, you can say, why can't you say everything? What they are doing is they're doing it al pi da'aska. So you are actually doing the lighting at the time.
Oh, so somebody, I don't know if you know Steve Apple, he comes to my 8:30, he sits usually here with Lenison. So he wanted to claim that when Tosus says the Chayim Shal Tavkot is okay, it's Gadol Omin al Gabo.
Right, that's what it is.
And the Gadol instructs him to light it.
So we just pass.
I found that very objectionable for two reasons. And I told Steve, you know, I didn't mess around. I told him, first of all, the statement, you know, where does Tosfos give you a hint to the fact that the Cheresh Shel Tekot is there? It's like Iker Chosim Nasi. But secondly, I object on a totally different level of it. There is no such thing as Gadol Omen Al Gabov in the case of Ner Chanukah. We never found anywhere that the supervision of the Gadol changes the Hadlaka itself. If the halacha requires hadlaka, it's got to be the hadlaka of a bar chiyuva. And shechita might be the exception because of what's called the chalos heter abasar, meaning that the shechita itself is nothing more than a means to an end. Or, for example, in the case of a get, you have to invest the get with what's called lishma. So in these cases, it could be that gadol omin al gavav means that the chalos is generated by the gadol. But in the case of Chanukah, which is not a matter of a chalos, it's just a maisa mitzvah like any other maisa mitzvah, we never found that the maisa mitzvah of Cheresh Shel Tekot, even with Gadol Omen Agava, would be meaningful. I mean, the whole yisod of shlichus is that you can't send the Cheresh Shel Tekot as a shliach. Why not just be there when the shliach implements his shlichus?
So are you saying that if we hold that a hadlaka is osa mitzvah, that in that case,
for sure it's worthless. But you want to say that maybe if Hanochos and Mitzvah, maybe if the Gadol is there, that would be sufficient.
Yeah,
so I'm just saying, yeah. I don't see that here. You know, if you want to go with that derech, there's no religious coercion here. But I don't buy into that. I don't believe that the Cheresh Shel Tekot are being supervised by a Gadol. And moreover, even if they were supervised by a Gadol, I don't think it would make a difference if you're telling me that you need a Maisa Hadlaka. So I'm in a bind over here because I see in this Gemara that you need a halakha ksheira, that this halakha could somehow culminate in a kiyum of hanocha, if you hold hanocha as a mitzvah, in which case, you know, there are two maisim. You know, this is another case of a mitzvah that's made up of many different parts. Like, for example, beer or chametz. You know, you start with bedika, then you end up with beer. So you have two parts to a mitzvah. Here, too, you have hanocha, and then you end up with hanocha. That could be a valid approach. But then you're upgrading the status of the hanocha to a maisim mitzvah. And if that be the case, how does Chayim Shalt Mekon allow you to set up a hanocha afterwards without hadlaka, because hadlaka of a chayim shalt mekon is meaningless. Lo asim lo klum, the Gemara said.
But there's a lot of mitzvahs that there are requirements that are required of the mitzvah, but they are not a part of the mitzvah themselves. But for instance, I mean, a far out example. About
just do me one favor, Alan, if you don't mind, only because I have an agenda for today to cover. Could you just tell me, because what's the difference between lighting inside the house and then doing the hanocha out, and a cheder shom for the cotton lighting inside the house and then doing the hanocha? Leave out other mitzvahs, because
what I'm saying is that the mashmos is that there has to be a lighting.
And inside the house is not a valid lighting.
But it's not the mitzvah, but there has to be a lighting.
Right, but I'm saying, the lighting itself inside the house, Alan, right?
Yeah.
The lighting inside the house is not a valid lighting.
You saw what you were doing, you were dancing? But
Yeah.
They didn't even invite us.
I don't even know what it is. It's not so, I'm sorry.
So I say, the lighting inside the house is not a valid lighting.
It's not about light.
Right? Why is the lighting of a cheder shel tikkun? Again, I'm not willing to go down the Gadol Min al-Gadol, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Can you just give me a few words, answer, like just cut through the mustard, just short and sweet. Why would the hadlaka of a cheder shel tikkun be better and allow hanochos of mitzvah to operate when hadlaka b'fnim inside the house is not going to allow hanocha to
operate? Oh, by himself, you mean, when he does himself.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Just if you could, like, just to zoom in on that one thing without, you know, without pontificating with mitzvahs and all that. Just pinpoint it right here. Why is hadlaka b'fnim worse than hadlaka b'cheder shel tikkun? Can you give it to me like mamish in 3 seconds? Like,
yeah. Because hadlaka b'fnim, hadlaka b'fnim is no hadlaka altogether.
Oh. Okay. But cheder shel tikkun is hadlaka.
It is a hadlaka.
All right.
And it is a hadlaka.
I don't know. I have trouble with that.
Even though it's not part of the mitzvah, but it's an undercurrent.
I would say like this: hadlaka cheder shel tikkun is not a bar das, can't be assumed to be hadlaka litzarcho because it's not a bar das. But by someone's a bar das who lights inside, you can see the negative hadlaka aspect that acts like litzarcho.
That's what I also thought, that maybe we could say that since there's litzarcho commanded, that's like a negative factor, and that's somehow. Just give me one more minute just to. The case of Shabbos. If it's yes, why does he have to put it out? It's really. I don't know. I don't have it. Okay, Rabbi Osei, so what's on the agenda for today? Let's turn to Daf Chav Gimel Omen Al. Okay then? Now, this Daf is mostly dedicated to Birchas Ner Chanukah. And we have a few statements here in the Gemara. One statement is that on the first night of Chanukah, the Madlik will recite 3 brachas, and the Roel will recite 2 brachas. In the case of the Roel, he'll be Mevarech Shasa Nisim, and he'll be Mevarech Shechion. On the second night, even the Madlik has no more than 2 brachas, because Shechion falls away, and the roah will only make one brah. Now, in the case of the madlik, his first bracha is going to be Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvosu v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. And I saw something fascinating in the Otzer HaYudim, which we have over here. Do you want to just pass this around? This, and you know that the Otzer HaYudim is in the back of the Masifta. And he quotes very early sources that the Nusach HaBrocha should be Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. Not Ner Shel Chanukah, but Ner Chanukah. Okay. Now, the first os in this presentation, which is called Birchas Lahadlik, is divided up into three parts. Let's start with the first part. And this is called the Mar Uktzir. And he comes to an amazing conclusion. We have a rule, a general rule, that Ein HaBrachos Ma'akvos Es HaMitzvah. So that if you perform the mitzvah and you omitted the bracha, you still yotze the mitzvah. But he says that Ner Chanukah is the exception to the rule. And you cannot fulfill the mitzvah without a bracha. He's going to try to explain that in a minute. But first, how does he draw this conclusion? This is pretty radical. Where does he see a basis, a source for this strange halacha that undermines our general rules that Ein HaBracha Ma'akeves Es HaMitzvah? So he claims that he finds it in the Torah. The Maror Ketziah finds it in the Torah, Siman Tov Resh Ayin Beis. The Torah wants to know what happens if he forgot to light Ner Chanukah Bizmano. And he says the fallback position, we saw something similar in the Rashba, if you remember, is Yochel Lahadli Kol HaLaila. Now, when the Torah says the words Yochel Lahadli Kol HaLaila, you don't know what he means. Does he mean with a bracha or without a bracha? So the Maror Ketziah says that from the fact that the Torah didn't qualify, he would be very misleading if he meant Yochel Lahadli Kol HaLaila below bracha, and he left out those two critical words below bracha. As Vaistos, it seems that according to the Torah, even beyond Achatitla Regel Menashuk, even as early as up to Alos HaShachar, he can make a bracha on Adlocha. So the Beis Yosef, having read this Torah the same way that the Maror Ketziah read it, the Maror Ketziah was about a century after the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef doesn't understand. We do have two opinions in the Gemara as to whether you could light beyond Tichla Regel Menashuk. You remember the two Lashonis in the Gemara. One Lashon says, Adshe Tichla Regel, De'ilo Adlik Madlik. So the latest time for Adlok is Tichla Regel Menashuk. The second day is all you need is a shear, enough oil in the Nair that would last for that half hour. And according, the Tosfos points out, according to the second answer, you're not bound to light the Ner Chanukah before Adshe Tichla Regel Menashuk. You can light it throughout the night. But what about the first day in the Gemara? The first day in the Gemara says, Hilo Adlik Adlik, that the limitation, the longest time we're going to allow you is until Adshe Tichla Regel Menashuk. So therefore, says the Beis Yosef, we're in a situation of Sofek Bracha. In other words, there's no doubt that he has to be Madlik, because there's one day in the Gemara that says, Lishiura. But on the other hand, how can the Torah give us the misimpression that he makes a bracha on that adlaka when that mitzvah is besafek? So whenever you have a safek mitzvah, you'll have to do the mitzvah, but you would not make a bracha. Comes along Maror Ketziah to try to defend the Torah. And he says the following, you'll see this on the left column, a paragraph that starts, V'tam adova. He says that birchasa, that in the case of Ner Chanukah, you can't separate the adlaka from the bracha. It's either all or nothing over here. In other words, you cannot have a mitzvah of hadlaka and fulfill that mitzvah without the bracha. The bracha is essential to the mitzvah. Lefisha kol ikra, the whole thrust of the mitzvah and its goal is persumei nisa. And again, I'm sorry and I apologize that you're going to be bored out of your mind because we've seen this over and over and over again, but I didn't write the text, so you can't blame me for it. Says the Maror Ketziah, v'chi adlik v'lo bracha, is a ro omer litzarko humad. Again, the old hat of hekera. How do we set up the hekera? Now again, you and I would have given a whole list of requirements in Ner Chanukah to achieve this goal of hekera. You know, for example, asul l'shtamish li'oro, perhaps tzarach ner acheres, and tofes v'yomei, and meniach el shulchan, all these issues. That's it. Now he adds a whole new element into the equation, that a bracha is going to be the facilitator for hakeira, and without the bracha, you don't have a mitzvah. Again, he doesn't seem to indicate exactly why, in this case of safek, you're going to make the bracha. But I think what he's saying is the following, that if you have a mitzvah that is independent of the bracha, it stands on its own two feet, then you could say two things. You could say mitzad the mitzvah itself, sofik l'chumra, and you have to do the mitzvah. Mitzad the bracha, insofar as the bracha is a separate element, and it's not part and parcel of the mitzvah, then we apply the principle of sofik l'kula, meaning sofik brachos is a problem of lotisa, and so forth and so on. But in a case where I can't separate the bracha from the mitzvah, because the bracha is essential to the mitzvah, then since as far as the mitzvah is concerned, I have to do the mitzvah, and that's called sofik l'chumra as far as the mitzvah, and I cannot separate the mitzvah from the bracha, then mimela, the chiyuv mitzvah will drag along the chiyuv bracha. Do you follow what I'm saying? So again, if bracha is separate, is independent of the mitzvah, then it's governed by its own rules. But if the bracha becomes part of the mitzvah itself, then ask yourself, well, do you have to do the mitzvah? And if we paskin that you have to do the mitzvah, then you have to make the bracha, because the mitzvah equals the bracha, and the bracha is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Marshal Amad Domer Domet, the Rambam says that if you have a suffix, whether you read Kriyat Shema, then you have to recite Kriyat Shema with Imbirchosel. So the Magid Mishnah asks the following question. Okay, I understand why you have to repeat Kriyat Shema because of the Sofek. But why in Birchosel? So he quotes the Rashba. The Rashba Tshuva says because Birchas Kriyat Shema is an essential part of Kriyat Shema. You can't separate the two. So whereas in general, the rules that apply to a bracha and Sofek is L'Hakel. But in a case where the bracha is inherent in the mitzvah, then since the mitzvah obligates you, so therefore the bracha is schlepped along. But now he quotes the Gvuras Yitzchak, who wants to offer another pshat. Now, I'm not sure who the Gvuras Yitzchak is, and this fascinates me. Because I'll tell you who I think the Gvuras Yitzchak is. And if I'm right, then it's kind of exciting to me that the Masifta quotes the Gvuras Yitzchak. There's a Rosh Yeshiva, and right now I'm being very medayik in my language, in the city of Lakewood. Do you understand what I mean by the city of Lakewood as opposed to the yeshiva in Lakewood? There are many yeshivas in Lakewood. People don't know that. People think there's only Beis Medrash Gavoa. But there's a yeshiva and a very significant yeshiva in Lakewood that's not connected to Beis Medrash Gavoa. And the yeshiva's name is Rabbi Yitzchak Sirk. Is Rabbi Yitzchak... Sorry. What's the tells of yeshiva's name? No, tells. Not Chaim Berlin. I was going to say Sorkin, but it's similar to Sorkin, but not Sorkin.
Sorotsky.
Not good, Rabosa. I have to eat my Cheerios. So, Rav Yitzchak Sorotsky. He's from the Sorotsky family. And he created a yeshiva. This man, to my knowledge, last count, which I'm probably way outdated, he had 15 svarim that he offered. And they all have the name Yitzchak to it. So I'm just wondering if this Rav Yitzchak Sorotskin, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in the city of Lakewood, the Gvuras Yitzchak. So he says the following. Why would it be so, based on this Maruk Tzia, that the bracha is essential to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? It's not Zaitig, it's not something extraneous. An independent chikiyu bracha, but it's part of the essence of Ner Chanukah. So we have the answer. Lahad. We're talking about the bracha Lahad. Right? This whole section is called Birchas Lahad. I don't know if you got a copy. Now, we already saw the Maruk Tzio. He explains that otherwise the Roa is going to say Litzarko Koman. So it's a din of Ekeir. He comes along with Gvuras Yitzchak with another approach. And he wants to say the following. It's very similar, but a little bit different. And he says that the kiyum of Ner Chanukah is Pirsumei Nisa. It means to publicize the miracle. And he says the following. If thanking Hashem for the mitzvah is part of the essence of the mitzvah, the Al Yidei Hadlokas HaNeros Mode Al Anes, then it has to be Ima Brachos. In other words, the bracha itself adds the element of Pirsumei Nisa. What does he mean? I mean, you know, a candle has nothing to do with the Ness. And you have to connect the Ness to the candle. What is the agent that connects the candle to the Ness? You know, I can tell you from now until doomsday, Madlikei Bev Neros, to use the Rambam's language, But why does that become Pirsum Anes? And he says the answer to that is the bracha. And he comes to an amazing conclusion. He says that if he doesn't understand the bracha, then he's not yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah depends not only on the bracha as a recitation, as a mechanical act, but on the fact that he understands the lashon of the bracha. In other brachos, we never found that, you know, you have to understand the bracha. So this is really amazing, because, you know, we have a universal machlokus about whether mitzvah srichas kavana, ain't srichas kavana. And mostly we assume that, at least as far as mitzvahs drabbanan is concerned, mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. But here's a case where you need kavana. And not only do you need kavana, but the bracha itself is going to set this mitzvah into its place. Again, there's a little bit of an oddity here, because in the bracha, he doesn't mention anything about the Pirsum Anes. He just says that you commanded us in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But that statement, together with the Adloka that follows, is able to inject into the Adloka the status of Pirsum Anes. But again, bottom line is, and this is the end of section one of our discussion about the bracha on Ner Chanukah, is that the bracha might be absolutely essential to the mitzvah. This becomes relevant. You remember, I've also had a long discussion between the Shevet Rav Shmuel Vosner, what's it called, the Shevet the Levi, and the Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, about a person whose wife lit for him at the time. But look, then he comes home at midnight and he wants to make his own Ner Chanukah. So the Beis Yosef says it's a bracha l'atola because it's he was already yotzei in Eri Shabbat, you know, Ishto Madlekes Olam, and and the Shevet Alevi says, no, let him make a bracha. So it's interesting, because halacha l'maisa, if this question came before me, my knee-jerk response would be to say, light it at midnight, but leave out the bracha, because you don't want to violate Rav Avadya Yosef. But now it comes out that the hadlaka without the bracha might be meaningless, you know, that the bracha itself comes along with the mitzvah. So if you're going to tell him to light, and you're holding now like the Shevet Levi, meaning that he doesn't want his wife to be yotzi, he wants to give himself the opportunity, Behadrin, to light himself, then in such a case, you have to give him the bracha as well, because you're going to deny him the bracha, then it becomes an exercise of futility. Again, I'm not passing, I'm just saying according to this. Jeff, what do you say?
Maybe the question is only at the time of the shuk. It wasn't very light at night. There's no pesukim in this involved, though, is there?
What, I mean, if there's no one out in the streets?
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore the bracha becomes so critical, because it sets the whole ambiance. Now, yeah.
If you say it's Pirsum Nes is what it is, that would be a Birchas HaShevach, wouldn't it? It would not be a Birchas HaMitzvah.
I don't know, we're going to have a whole long discussion about that. I don't know if I want to get into that now, but whatever it is, whether it's a Birkas HaMitzvah or a Birkas HaShevach, it's critical.
Well, yeah, but that's why I'm asking, if the difference is because a Birkas HaMitzvah would become before the mitzvah, and a Birkas HaShevach would come after the mitzvah. So if you're going to make the bracha before you light, then it's a riot that it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, but then what does that have to do with Pirsum Nes?
Right, so we're going to see later on that even a Birkas HaShevach for Odaya has to be before the mitzvah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, again, you know, you'll have to give me a little time to get to that. And the reason for that is because if the mitzvah generates the bracha, then it's different than a classical Shevach Hodoya. And therefore, since the mitzvah generates the bracha, then the Hodoya should come together with the Birkas HaMitzvah as one package.
It's a hybrid.
Okay, now what about this nusach of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah? Have you ever heard it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've heard it. If you ever go, which I recommend, to Bells on a specific night of Chanukah, every year it changes, but that's the night when they have the choir. It's an amazing experience. But they light with the bracha of Ner Chanukah. And that's the way my father-in-law lights also, because he's a Belzer. So he quotes this nusach in the name of the Marshal. And you won't see it in the Mishnah Berurah, but you'll see it in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch is very much influenced by the same school of thought. There's only one little difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Marshal. The Marshal says Ner Chanukah, you read it Shel Chanukah, In other words, he also combines it into one word, but he combines shel with chanuk, whereas the Shulchan Aruch has ner chanuk, and the Mishnah Berurah has ner shel chanuk as three separate words. So he writes, Sarach bir, ma tam lomar shel chanuk b'mila achas. And at this point, Kana ben Shoel, he doesn't ask the question, but why ner chanukah, not ner shel chanukah? So it seems to me that the answer to that question is that the mitzvah is to create a ner chanukah. And that's the name of the ner. It's a ner chanukah. Not a ner shel chanukah, you know, as if the ner will serve for the sake of chanukah, but it's a ner chanukah, you know, describing the name. But he has a different question. He wants to understand the Marshal's Girsa. He has Shelach Hanukkah. What's Shelach Hanukkah? See, he quotes the Shalah, and he says the following. Because when it comes to Shabbos, it's Ner Shel Shabbos. We don't have Ner Shabbos as one word. Well, we don't have Ner Shel Shabbos as one word. He says, Bishleim Ner Shel Shabbos, She Ner Litzorach Shalom Beso, Rak Shemitzah Shabbos Olov. In other words, he's lighting it for his own purposes, for his own benefits. Is Nikra Ner Shel Shabbos. In other words, the Ner is a Ner, and it's for your purposes, but it's related to Shabbos. That's Shel Shabbos. So the Shabbos element is sort of external to the Ner. Avol B'Ner Chanukah, HaNer Eino K'Shar Neros. In other words, it's not for your purpose. El L'Persumei Nisa for the Mitzvah of Chanukah. So ner, what is this ner? Shel Chanukah. It's not a ner related to Chanukah, but it's a ner shel Chanukah. Meaning that the ner itself is a ner mitzvah, ner Chanukah. It's not that the ner is yours and then you relate it to Chanukah. Okay. Oh. Now we get to the Bach. This is part 3 of this section. The Bach wants to know the following. We have a principle in Hilchos Brachos, and I think we've discussed it on more than one occasion, that if the mitzvah lends itself to shlichus, then the brach is with an al. And it's not just that when the shliach himself is implementing the mitzvah, he's mevarach with an al. But if the mitzvah itself lends itself to shlichus, then we make a brach with an al. So, for example, in Trumas and Maisers, where you can say the shliach, the brach is going to be al hafrashas Trumas and Maisers. So, therefore, the question now becomes the following: with regard to Chanukah, l'chora, the shliach himself, if I point you to light Chanukah candles for me, we'll see in a minute that that's not so simple, then you're going to be Mevarech Al. And if we go the step further, then even if I'm lighting the Chanukah candles for myself, since the mitzvah lends itself to shlich, the bracha should be with an Al. So the Bach now wants to know, why is the bracha lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, since it lends itself to shlich? Hasvarahi mishum she'ein zu mitzvah shelo, v'eino yochol lomar shashem tzivo. So why is that the shliach cannot make the brach with a lamed? He says, when you make a brach with a lamed, the implication is, the meaning is, lasos, as some mitzvah. The lamed is the lamed of lasos. And when you say, Asher Kitshonim, it's also it's called a lasos, then the brach is on the Chovas Gavra, on Hashem Tzivos, you know, he gave me the obligation, lasos, some mitzvah. The shliach cannot make that declaration. But rather, he has to make a brach on the kiyumah mitzvah. He doesn't use the word, but he says, mevarech ba'ofen klali, Shetzivanu al ha-mitzvah hazu, but not lasso summits, because he, the shliach, doesn't have the obligation to do the mitzvah. So this is so far the presentation of the Bach. This before we see the Magen Avraham. And just to summarize, the Bach holds that when a shliach is lighting near Chanukah on someone else's behalf, and for that matter any mitzvah that's done by a shliach on someone else's behalf, the bracha shifts from a lamed to an al. And he explains beautifully why that's so, because the shliach cannot say lasos, God, you've commanded me lasos, but rather God, you've commanded me on the mitzvah, meaning in the general sense of the mitzvah. Then he quotes the Magen Avraham, The Magen Avraham points our attention to a Ran in Psoch. And the case is Hafroshas Trumas of Maestros. What did the Magen Avraham intend by pointing us in the direction of the Ran in Psoch and Lagabi Trumas of Maestros? And the Magen Avraham adds Lo Mashma Kidvarav. And he had some sort of problem based on the Ran in Psoch. So the Magen Avraham doesn't answer that question, doesn't clarify. But the Maksa Shekel, much later commentary, he says that Kavanoso, what did the Magen Avraham mean to prove from the Ran, is that if the mitzvah is Efshal Lasos Al Yedei Shliach Mevarchem Baal, he says that it doesn't matter who's actually implementing the bracha, whether it's the original Mishaleach, the Baal Achiyuv, or whether it's the Shliach. If the mitzvah lends itself to Shlichus, the Ran says, then the bracha is always going to be Baal and never on a lam. So, for example, if Hafroshes Trumas and Maestros therefore lends itself to Shlichus, the bracha should be with an Al. In other words, Mikevon Shashliach Tzorach Levarach Al. Once the Shliach has to make the bracha Al, Eino Yochel Levarach Lamed, because he doesn't have the Chovas Gavra, therefore Tiknu Shigam Balabayis Hamavarech Yomer Veloshen Al. In other words, they didn't want to make a distinction between the Nusach of a Shliach and the Nusach of the Balabayis, and since the Nusach of the Shliach must be by definition with an Al, therefore that becomes the uniform Nusach HaBroch. Avol b'mitzvah she'ef shalasas al yedei Shliach agon tefillin mevarech b'lamed. You have to figure out about the tefillin shel Rosh, but at least as far as the tefillin shel Yad is concerned. The Hikshar Ran, the Ran now asks himself the following question. What are we going to do with mitzvahs Hadlokas Ner Chanukah and Afrashas Truma? Both of these mitzvahs lend themselves to Shlichus, and nevertheless we make the bracha with the Lamed. This seems to undermine the whole thesis that Efshar Lasos Yedei Shliach requires a bracha with an Al. Again, all this is going to tie back to the Magen Avraham. The Tirutz, the Rad offers the following answer, that Ner Chanukah is not Shlichus. It really doesn't lend itself to Shlichus. How does he know this? Kevon she'ner Chanukah tzorch she'ashemen shelo. Whose oil is the Shliach lighting? It's the oil of the Balabais, of the Mishaleach. V'eino yotze el b'shal atzmo. He has to own and possess the ner, the shemen. Is therefore ein zu mitzvah she'chol iskayim al yudei achen. No, it's the actual adlok is being done by someone else, but the ner belongs to him.
Why does he say that? Why does the Ran say that? Why doesn't he say it's Ishu Beisa?
The Ran wants to try to show that, illustrate that this is not Shlichus. If it was Shlichus.
It's Ishu Beisa the same way. It's not his Beisa, so he has to do it. It can only be so Shlichus. It can't be used himself because that's not his house.
No, let's say it's in his house, for example. Let's say I'm pointing a shliach to light the candle in my house. So right. Pashtus, that means that it's a mitzvah shef shalikayim ayidei shliach. Says the Ran, if that be the case, then the bracha should always be alad lokasnech. Why do we, and how do we justify the bracha with a lavin? The answer is that I'm not really appointing it as my shliach, because if I was appointing it as my shliach, then the ner wouldn't have to belong to me. And since there's halacha that the shemen of the ner has to belong to me, it means he's not my shliach. Maybe he's just doing a mechanical act. I mean, we had long discussions about this in the past, if anybody chooses to remember. He says, V'chein b'afrashas truma. Wow, this is unbelievable. We think that afrashas truma is a classical case of shlichus. In fact, the Gemara in Kedushin derives shlichus from afrashas truma, atem gam atem. Comes along the Ran, and he says, no. In afrashas trumas and maestras, we're going to make the bracha with a lamed and not with an al. Why is that? Because tzorach das bailim the efshal lahafish shalom midaito. See, you have to know a lot more about Afrashas Truma here. For example, what happens if the shliach brings tevel that he owns that doesn't belong to the Baal Bais? I don't know if he can be mafish, because I think there are all sorts of conditions here. You know, you have to have min amukof and also you can't be mafish min achiv al ptur, and here, as far as the Baal Bais is concerned, he's part of the Trumas and Maestros on Yenim's Tvuah. So for some reason, the Ran introduces another element into the equation, Das Beilin. So let's just accept the Ran now at face value. The Ran says that in order for Shlichus to operate in the case of Truma, you need Das Beilin. What happens if the Shliach was Mafresh Truma without Das Beilin? So it could be that after that Frush, we could supply the Das Beilin. Anybody remember what that's called? I'm just curious if you... That's called Klach Etzel Yofos. Have you ever heard of that? Do you know where that sugi is? This is the first sugi I ever learned in my life. It's called Yei Shalom Idas. You heard of it? I learned this when I was in fourth grade, I think. So in the sugi of Yei Shalom Idas is a case of Klach Etzel Yofos, which means that you went ahead, you were mafresh my truma, I came back, and I made a comment that I said, for my part, you could have given even better quality stuff. So the Gemara says that once he agrees, once he demonstrates or expresses his consent, then that's considered Das Beilin, even though paradoxically there was no Das Beilin at the point of Hafrasha. It's only later on when he came back and he gave his nod of approval. So when the Ran says V'chein b'afrash is Truman Tzorach Das Beilin, it doesn't necessarily mean Das Beilin before that Hafrasha. It could be the Das Beilin is supplied after the Afrasha through the principle of Klach Etzel Yofos. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says that depends on whether Yeish Shalom Idas Havi Yeish or Yeish Shalom Idas Lo Havi Yeish. Because what happens in the case of Yeish Shalom Idas is when you find out about it, you agree. Oh, it's a lost object. So the Yeish came afterwards. But if you hold Yeish Shalom Idas Havi Yeish, which is Rava's opinion, then the Yesh could come afterwards, meaning after he found the object and took it into his rishus. The trouble is we don't pass like Rava, believe it or not. That's one of Yal Kagam. Like the Yud of Yal Kagam is Yesh Shalom Midas. He says that since Afrash's true Sabaisis requires Das Bailun, Hareza Nechsha ki e efsha la so sal yide shliach. The shliach can't operate on his own. Those normal shlichus means I hand over the reins to the shliach. The shliach now takes over the driver's seat. You know, he's the Baal HaBas. But here you see you need ownership on the Ner, on part of the Bashaleh. Or, for example, in the case of Afrashu, you need Das Beilin. Is therefore, the bracha is always going to be with the Lamed. Okay, fine. What does this have to do with the Magen Avraham's objection to the Baal? So if you take a look at the next paragraph, he says, Zeh Shekos Magen Avraham, Shalafi Svaras Haran, Nimtza Shein Evdil Ben Shliach HaMadlik Ner Chaneko, Lebalabais hamadlik ner chanuka, ushnei amevarchem lahadlik ner chanuka, kevan shebener chanuka, gam kein tzorach das bailim, kmo shkosef aran legabei trumas of maestris, but kevan shashliach tzorach das bailim, areyu kemo balabais, shemevarch balam. So this is all the Machzor Shekel trying to like play the role of Sherlock Holmes and figure out why the Magen Avraham found an objection to the Bach in the Ran. And the answer is because what the Magen Avraham wanted to prove from this Ran is that the appropriate Nusach for Ner Chanukah would be with a Lamed. And even if the Shliach were to be Madlik the Ner Chanukah, he would still make the Bracha with a Lamed. That's all against the Bach, of course, because the Bach says the Shliach should be Mevarech Al Adlokas Ner Chanukah. Now, where does the Ran say that the Shliach should not be Mevarech with an Al? He says that since in the case of Ner Chanukah, the Shliach could not light his own candle, he has to light the candle of the Baal HaBayis, therefore, that's not Shlichus. And the Bracha that's appropriate in such a case is a Lamed, because there is no Shlichus. Jeff, could I trouble you just get a drop of water? I'm so sorry. I should have filled it up before. But it's coming to the point where I'm about to collapse.
Hot water?
No, just tap water, you know, from the filter if you can. All right. So at this point, Rabosai, in the discussion, we understand that there's like a machlokas kaviyocha between the Bach and the Ran. Whereas the Bach would say that the Nusach of Ner Chanukah should be with an Al, or at least in the case with a Shliach, thank you so much. Where, and in contrast, the Ran says that the Bracha should be with a Lamed, because there is no Shlichus. Okay. You know, the Ramchal wrote a sefer called Mesilas Yesharim, based on the price of Pinchas ben Yair. And he takes you from Zrizus and Precious through all the different levels until he gets to Tchias HaMeisim. And he has an average of 3 chapters about each one of these levels. When he gets to the last level, he says nothing. Apparently, the Ramchal understood each level and somehow had personal experience with it, including the next to the last level, which is Ruach HaKodesh. But when he gets to Tchias HaMeisim, he drops the ball. But Jeff, you got to the level of Tchias HaMeisim. Because you were Machayim. Okay. So the Machzis HaShekel says the following. This is the paragraph that starts with the word Vahosif, if you see. He says that it's true, I grant you, that the Mogen Avraham is an excellent proof from the Ran. Legabi guf hadin shel ner Chanukah. Guf hadin shel ner Chanukah. Let's emphasize those words, very abstract words. Shemavarchim b'loshem olam. And the fact that the proof of the pudding is the fact that the Shemen has to belong to the Baal Bais and not to the Shliach, it means we're not operating within the framework of Shlichus. And therefore, since the Shliach is like the Baal Bais, if he's really just the extended arm of the Baal Bais, he's not really standing on his own 2 feet, then insofar as he's representing the Baal Bais, he'll make the brach with the Lamed. And that's what the Ran says, that if the Shliach needs to make a bracha with an Al, then the Baal Bayis would also have to make a bracha with an Al. And that's against the Bach, because the Bach is assuming that the bracha Ner Chanukah is with a Lamed, even though the Shliach himself has to make the bracha with an Al. Meaning the Ran is based on the premise of uniformity. There's no difference between the Shliach and the Baal Bayis. They both make the bracha with the same Nusach. Therefore, the Ran is certainly cornered into the corner that he has to accept that the bracha of Ner Chanukah is lahadlik, even when the Shliach is mavar. Because again, if the Shliach would make the bracha with an Al, then the Mashaleach, meaning the Baal Bais, would also make the bracha with an Al. From the fact that we have a bracha called a Lamed, with a Lamed, then it means that even the Shliach is mavar with a Lamed. And this is an explicit contradiction to the Bach, who says that the Shliach should be mavar Al Adlokas Ner Chanukah. The Machzis HaShekel says that this is what the Mogen Avraham wants to prove from the Ran regarding Afroshes Trumas and Maisers. Because in the case of Afroshes Trumas and Maisers, since we require Das Bailim, it means that the Shliach is not on his own, and therefore the Brach is always going to be with a Lamed. And the same thing, the same logic should apply to Ner Chanukah as well. So it's very interesting that there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in the Ran. Because when the Ran wants to prove that the bracha on Ner Chanukah is with a Lamed, he proves it from the halacha that the Shliach has to use the candle, the Shemen of the Baal Bais. Then the Ran quotes the case of Hafrashas Shumas and Maisers, and he says the reason why the Shliach will have to make a bracha with a Lamed is because you need Das Bailim. And then the Ran goes in and says that just like you need Das Bailim in the case of Shumas and Maisers, thank you, you need Das Bailim in the case of Ner Chanukah. So why did the Ran have to open up by saying, well, the reason why the Shliach can't make a bracha with an Al is because he needs the Shemen, and that Shemen has to belong to the Baal Bayis? Why did he just say that you need Das Bailim? Because when he justifies the Shliach's bracha in the first stream of Sabbath with a Lamed, he says because you need Das Bailim. Then the Ran himself says that in Ner Chanukah you need Das Bailim. So then by definition, the bracha of the Shliach in the case of Ner Chanukah would have to be with a Lamed. It's funny because the Ran is operating on 2 different levels. On one level, he says that the reason why the Shliach has to make a bracha with the Lamed is because the Shemen has to be owned by the Baal Bais. And on another level, he says because just like Trumas and Maisers, you need Das Bailim. So Ad Kan HaKofa Aleph. Now we get to bracha on Sha'as HaNisim. So here's the basic issue about Sha'as HaNisim. Is it a bracha on Adloka? Or it has no relationship whatsoever to that look. It's only related to what we call Re'iyas HaNer. So you take, for example, if you can fast forward to a paragraph that starts with B'Shem HaGrach. Do you have that? It's on the left column. And again, he doesn't quote the Hari Kedem here, but I think we'll find it somewhere in the Hari Kedem. I'm not sure. But Nistape, Ha'im is the Brach of Shasanisim established on the Mitzvah Gloka or on the Mitzvah Re'iyah? And you'll see the Nafkamin in just a minute. Now again, if the bracha is a classical birchas hamitzvah, then one could argue that you have to make this bracha before the adlaka, because the mitzvah is the bracha, is the mitzvah adlaka. If on the other hand there's a separate independent kiyum of re'iyah, then it's some sort of pirsum anes through the re'iyah, then maybe you can make that bracha even after the adlaka. But gamisha, what do you say?
That's what you should say.
So we'll soon see. The Grach had a very strange minute. And he differentiated between the first night and the second night. Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. He says, V'gam misha madlik tzorch levarach osu machmas riyoso shalaneiros v'lo machmas mitzvos hadlaka. If we view the second bracha as independent of hadlaka, it's a bracha b'fnei atzmo on re'iyah, and has nothing to do with hadlaka, then the balabayis would have to be mevarach the second bracha because of re'iyah, not because of hadlaka.
Right.
So if you fast forward here for a moment to the bottom paragraph, Ahuva b'shem agrach shahayin noeg, his minig was that on the first night, if you skip to the third line, he says shehidlik v'layla rishona, he would be noeg to make all three brachas before that lacha. But when he got to the leil sheni, he would sandwich the bracha between the first candle and the second candle. The leil sheni noag Levare birchas lahadlik, and then he would go ahead and be madlik the first nair, and then he would make the bracha shasa nisim before he lit the second nair. So he has both a bracha on hadlaka because he's anticipating the hadlaka on the second nair, and that would fulfill the requirement of birchas hamitzvah over lasiyosa. But at the same time, he has the re'iyah and he's making a bracha of, let's call it a birchas shevach v'odoya on the re'iyah, and that's shasa nisim lavoseinu, because he's already seen the first bracha on the first candle. But on the first night, he doesn't have that option. So it's really strange. On the first night, he's going to have to assume that the shasa nisim, like the bracha lahadlik, is on the hadlaka, and it's all part of the mitzvah. He hasn't even gotten to the point of re'iyah yet, because he hasn't even lit the candle. So again, on the first night, it's impossible to orchestrate a bracha of shasa nisim on the re'iyah as a birchas shevach v'odoya, because he's not up to the re'iyah yet. It means that now we're going to go 100% undiluted with birchas hamitzvah, not just on the first bracha la'alik, but even on the second bracha shasa nisim. So Rav Chaim is in an e'efshar situation. But on the second night, where he has two candles to light, so now he can make the bracha after the first hadlaka before the second hadlaka. What does he gain now? He's not totally committed to the view, as he was on the first night, that the bracha of shasa nisim is on hadlaka. He's open to fulfill the requirement of re'iyah, because now, after he lit the first candle, he has the re'iyah. Now, I was just thinking out loud, it occurred to me in the middle of my conversation here, that maybe in the case of Mahadrin Ner L'Cholecha V'Echad, let's go with the Rambam sheet, if you remember that Mahadri Ner L'Cholecha V'Echad means that there's one Madlik, just the Mispar Nero, so can I get the Anshei Abayis? So we go with that sheet of the Rambam. So if there are two people in the house, let's say for argument's sake it's him and his wife, then even on the first night he could be Mekayim the Minig of the Grach. Let me just think about this. In other words, he'll make the Bracha of Lahadlik before the first candle, and then after he lights the first candle, he sees the first candle, and he makes the bracha of what? Of Shasa Nisim, and then he lights the second candle. I mean, the second candle is only Mahadran. It's not like the second night. One second. Reb Chaim on the second night. Oh, that's Mahadran, Mina Mahadran. It doesn't seem to make any difference, ostensibly. You follow what I mean? Well, although again, you know, this sefer called the Mishnah Siyavitz, he has a whole pilpul that maybe the first night is extraneous to the mitzvah, the first hiddur is extraneous, but the second hiddur is in the gufa ha mitzvah of hiddur, of Hida Mitzvah, you know, that we're announcing how great the miracle is. But be that as it may, if we're going to equate Mahajan to Mahajan, Minah Mahajan, from this perspective, then Rav Chaim's Minah would work very beautifully even on the first night, assuming that he's not lighting alone. I'm making two assumptions. Number one, he's not lighting alone. And number
he's lighting
all the candles. And he's lighting all the candles, like the Ramah.
Sure.
So if you had that Ne'er L'chol Echad V'Echad just needs the Mispar Neiros, but there's one Madlik, then you could actually fulfill Rav Chaim's requirements to be able to say all the Shitas, even on the first night.
So if you're lighting, and your wife is lighting her own, she's now Roe on mine. Does she have to say the
right? So that
before she does the rest of it.
That's number four. I think.
Okay.
Yeah. How many pages do you have? You have all of them. So you take a look at page Nun Gimel. So that's Os Dalet. It's called Geder Birchas Haroah.
Right.
And this is very complicated because he has a whole sheet that they're shown in. Listen carefully. That if you're on the way home from shul. And you see in Erchani, you did not make the bracha of Roel Shosins. You wait till you get home.
Yeah.
So which means that whenever you're going to make the bracha of Lahadlik, we want to attach the bracha of Shosin Nisim as the bracha of Roel to the Adlaka. And despite the fact that as a fallback position, if you don't have Adlaka, then you'll make the bracha on the Re'iyah. But if you do have Adlaka, then you make the bracha on your Adlaka and add the Shosin Nisim. And it's very close to this Reb Chaim. If we go back to Reb Chaim for a minute, Reb Chaim is of the opinion that he wants to get the second bracha over Lasiosa. Now again, that's impossible in the classical Roar. I mean, he only has Re'iyah. He doesn't have Adlaka, right? He doesn't have a bias. But in a case where you're on the way home, then you're not in that fallback Efshar situation where you have to make the bracha after the Re'iyah. You can make the bracha before the Re'iyah and even before the Adlaka. And Rav Chaim wants to guarantee that you'll be yotzi that shita that the birchas haroah is the birchas hamitzvah on the mitzvah of adlaka. The re'iyah is just an extension of the adlaka, and therefore Rav Chaim is very eager that the bracha of shasa nisim should be recited before the adlaka. On the first night, it's hard. On the first night, you can't miss it. On the second night, you can gain that option and kiyum by lighting, sandwiching your bracha of shasa nisim between the two. The two adlokas and the two neiros.
So why does he say the shasa nisim has to be sandwiched?
Right, because he wants to get the shasa nisim as both a birchas re'iyah and at the same time a birchas hamitzvah of overlasiyos. So by sandwiching the shasa nisim in between the two, he'll gain both shitas, because on the one hand it's overlasiyos in the second adlokah, and on the other hand it's on the re'iyah of the first.
That's not when he's lighting or he's not lighting it.
No, I'm saying, let's say it's the second night of Chaim, because he's lighting two candles. So Chaim, on the second night, would sandwich his Shasa Nisa between the first Adlok and the second Adlok.
Right.
You have to be a brisker for this. I mean,
so when he's doing that...
One of the Chidushim of Chaim in his whole Derech Halibut was to try to be able to say all sheets.
Right.
So he would do somersaults in the air, and he would literally rack his brains to figure out. Now imagine if you have a seven-way machlokas Rishonim. Reb Chaim would still insist, let's find a way that we can yotze all seven sheep.
Right.
Again, I don't think you could always do that, but on the first night of Chanukah, you can't do it. You know.
But on the second night, why doesn't he just light them both and then say Shasa Nisim afterwards?
Because there's one day that says Shasa Nisim is a birchas hamitzvah, it requires over lasiyos.
It's a birchas hamitzvah.
So if yotze that sheep on the second night, he sandwiches it in between, and then the bracha of Shasa Nisim is on the second adlok. And again, the second air is only Mahajan, but again, we're upgrading the status of Mahajan to a mitzvah that makes a bracha, that justifies a bracha. Now, Rav Chaim has an interesting proof here. He says the following. First of all, again, you have to be a brisker for this. In the paragraph of Huva, it says Rav Chaim would blindfold himself on the way back from shul.
Yeah,
why? Because he didn't want to get into this whole machlokas that maybe he's chayim in birchas re'iyah and he hasn't even lit his candles yet. Now, I once heard a rumor, I never was able to clarify this, that Rav Chaim spent most of Yom Kippur spitting because he didn't want to swallow his own spit.
Right.
You know, you got to be a brisker for that, my friends. You know what I'm saying? It's like b'li'achas. You know, if you see a person eat two kazesim of matzah and bliachas and survive it? I once gave a lecture down in the south of Toronto called "How to Eat Matzah and Survive." You know. If you're a brisker, I don't know if you could survive it. It's mamish pikuach nefesh. But he says so in Nizhar shalola habit b'shum chalon on his derech back from the Beis HaKnesses to his house. Shalo yischayev b'birchas haroah.
Couldn't he just have a negative kavana? He didn't have blindfold himself.
You see, that's also complicated because the Gemara says that a roi near Chanukah chayv uvarik. So I'm not sure if the kavana plays any role. Or you know, the ri'i of the ner itself is a machayev. It's interesting that the Ritva, who's many, many centuries before Rav Chaim, was also a kind of a brisker. If you take a look at a paragraph that starts V'chenu baritva, which is about three paragraphs up before the end of the page, he says that he advocates making the brach of Shasanisim achar shehiskil lahadlik. It's almost like if I can imagine this. This is not a good portrayal.
It's a Sfarim.
Yeah, but the Ritva was a Sfarim, so it doesn't surprise me. It's much like this, that he makes lahadlik, and then as he's lighting, he makes shasanisim simultaneously with the Ner Chanukah going up in flames, because at that split second, he is still involved in the act of lighting, and he's already seeing the Ner. I mean, it's much like a briska chakira here, but this is way before Reb Chaim. Let's read it again. He says, Haritva says in the name of Yesh Omrim, he says, Shemavarach Bircha Shasad Nisim, Vishach Yonu, when, Li Acher Shehischil Lahadlik, again, he hasn't completed his Havlaka yet. You know, you and I would have said Havlaka is one split second in time. In fact, Shehischil Lahadlik, and I'll add, Velo Gomar, Kidei Shehe Roeh, he's going to see, he calls it Niso, Niso means the Ner, which is Zechel and Nes. V'yavarech olav ke'en haroa ner Chanukah. In other words, the second bracha is related to the Re'iyah. But on the other hand, he wants to get over Lasiyosin. So before he completes that lacha of the Ner Rishon. So that's why what you might want to do, if you want to be machra like the Ritva, is to keep the Shamish attached for an extra few seconds to the Ner Chanukah. And it'll be one flame. And at that point, you make the Shasa Nisan because you're going to see the Ner Chanukah. And at the same time, you still haven't Moshe Yodo. You know, he didn't complete his Hadlok. Okay, Rabosa. So I'll stop here. What we have to finish here is Bircha Shekhiyonu. That's a fascinating topic, Bircha Shekhiyonu. And then we have Bircha Saroh. That's really complicated. I don't know if I'll survive Birkas HaRoah. It's really, really complicated. Okay then, so I wish everyone a great Shabbos. And this Sefer, which is called the Mishnas Yaivitz, again, I'm curious to see whether he holds that even if the old Hanocha submits for this, a Maisa Hadlocha, so that Belin Eder will try to look over Shabbos. Wow, I didn't realize how long of a piece this was. So we'll see what we can accomplish. Okay then? So I'm going to grab onto these, just in case other people join us over the next few days. And my goal is to sort of, you know, begin to wrap things up in the next week or two. So 1 second, so is this who I think it is? Zarotsky?
Yes, Zarotsky.
Ah, okay. That's cool. He's a gigantic Talmud Chacham. I mean, beyond
that was
I want to tell you something.
Those nine
Torahs.